Welcome, listeners and viewers, to another show on Rising Above Shadows of Abuse, RASA. I'm your host, Grace Upper. Today, we have the wonderful, kind-hearted, adorable Beatrice Yakubu, the CEO of Simple Enterprise. Welcome on the show.
Thank you very much, Grace. It's been a privilege to be here. I have listened to some of your shows and they've been wonderful. I'm excited to be sitting on the other side of the table now, about to share my side of things regarding what I do and also how I can empower your listeners.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. So to start the ball rolling, can you please let us know a bit about who you are and your organization?
Thank you for that. So my name is Beatrice Yakubu. I am the founder of Simply Family Business, and it's a business that helps entrepreneurs with regards to visibility online and helping them to understand how to navigate in the digital world so that they can attract clients and grow their businesses, and predominantly for families as well. I know that if you're a parent and you start on a venture of being in business, you have the challenge of parenting and you also have the challenge of growing a business. But of course, what if you can be in a platform where you have the support of someone who knows how to navigate it and then support you? And that is exactly what I do as an entrepreneur.
Yes, actually, Beatrice, she was my mentor. She really helped me on the journey, especially when it came to social media. So thank you. And she's quite good. And that's why I said she's adorable. So my next question is, how can women create financial habits whereby they don't feel boxed in?
Thank you for that. In terms of financial habits, there are various ways that we can do that. And I want to talk about the area of the importance of creating financial habits. Creating any habit in general can be tasking. A lot of us don't really focus on what we want to do in terms of the habit. But of course, creating financial habits is something that we must pay very close attention to. Number one would be to set up a budget. Budget can feel restrictive when it comes to our spending. If you're someone who has never done so before, budget is your guiding light that will help you in navigating your financial management world. The other thing is for you to concentrate on the principle of savings. Now, in terms of that, I didn't always know these things. I had to learn them. But I feel that in terms of savings, when they say save 10% of your income, if you want to actually have your own freedom in this world, that is a principle not to be ignored. So ensuring that you are putting some of the money that you earn away is a great way or habit to keep. And what I always say is that if you think that when all the money goes into your current account, you would spend it like most of us do, you can set a standing order. And then so that as soon as the money hits your account, then part of it is going out into the savings pot. Then also they need to learn about increasing in terms of your earnings, because sometimes, I mean, this is a lady that I listen to a lot. She's also a podcaster, Patrice Washington, on redefining wealth for yourself. She often says that when she used to do financial education, one of the things that she quickly realized was the fact that people could just increase how they earn. And so in terms of cutting coupons and doing all the things that restricts us so much, if you learn how to earn a bit of income more than you earn now, perhaps that could go into the savings, and then what you earn on your regular job could be for you. Also, to learn how to be able to protect and grow their money. A lot of us don't know how to do that. So you have a family and you don't have insurance, for example, it is a very dangerous way to live. So having that as a buffer, it's not that you are going to put that your savings is not your insurance. Your insurance is the one that will protect you in case anything happens to you, at least your children and your family can survive. What are the benefits of all these, you may ask, especially as a woman? If you don't have a financial leeway, what happens is that you are not able to stay in your power, especially for those of us from Africa. When we're growing up, it's often assumed that the man has the power to look after women and all that. If you have your own money, not that you won't be submissive to your husband, but at least you would have a say in what is going on in your relationship and in your marriage. You can also commit to your values. I know, for example, most people would compromise their values because when it comes to making decisions about your financial decisions, because if you don't have money and somebody has it and asks you to do things that you, under normal circumstances, wouldn't have done, chances are people will do. And so it is important as a woman that when you have your own money and when you cultivate money habits, it helps you in that sense. You also want to ensure that your children are learning from you as well, because when your children see that you are financially savvy, guess what? They respect you a lot because they know that even if they ask for something, you are not going to be shouting at them because you don't have the money. You're already stressed and they are coming to you asking for money. That is an empowering situation for us as well. So that would be my long, shall I say, or short answer.
Thank you so much. So what this actually mean is women should have their own small pot of gold in case of
100%.
eventuality.
100%. 100%. We recently had a wife divorced. Bezos, he and his wife divorced. You can be married to the billionaire, but if you don't have your own money, guess what? You don't want to be dragging people to court just to share their money. So, yeah, it is important that we learn about financial habits because that will help us a lot.
Thank you so much for that brilliant answer. That leads me to another question. Should lone parents restrain themselves when it comes to money matters?
It is difficult being a lone parent. And if you're a lone parent out there, my heart goes out to you because for most people, that's not their story. But also for some people, due to one reason or the other, you find yourself being a lone parent. The challenges of being a lone parent is that you now have one source of income. Can you imagine in this, especially in the UK, where money comes in and flies out like they say, like the wind. So if you have two streams of income, even if you are a low income earner, two is always better than one, as the saying goes. But then the thing is, when you become a single income, it can be very challenging. As a lone parent, you don't have to throw your hands in the air because of that. Here is what you can do if you are a lone parent. And the other issue is that you are not able to actually generate income. So, for example, I was reading a statistic that by the time the child gets to 18, it would have cost you a quarter of a million to look after the child. And not only are you not making enough money, but also the expenses now is more or less double for you. Also, you are not able to go out there and work because you have to look after these children. In Africa, yes, we have expanded, but I understand that's also becoming a thing of the past. So those are the challenges. But the solution is that you have to then utilize the help that's out there. I think the challenge is that somebody who has suddenly become divorced, perhaps you don't want people to know and ashamed, and you can't blame yourself for what could I have done and was it my fault and all sort of things. I mean, regardless of whether it was your fault or it was your spouse's fault, you have to leave. Go out there and
That's the reality.
exactly. So you need to go out there and find help. For example, I saw in the library that millions of pounds go in the UK unclaimed. And if it's not claimed, the government is going to misuse it anyway. So why don't you find out what your deal is and then go out there and claim it and find help from the non-governmental organizations. Also, some of them are very helpful in terms of supporting you as a single parent. And I would say that involve your children as well in terms of managing your money, because when you do that, the children understand you, like there's transparency. And who knows, sometimes divorce can even be a good thing for mother and children to actually bond better than if you have an abusive partner who wouldn't let you be. So that would be my answer for lone parents to become savvy regarding money management.
Thank you. And to add to what you just said, I think lone parents can work from home. Maybe get an online work, telesales, call operators.
There are so many things that they can do. There's so many.
Yes, that would actually boost their income or finances.
Yeah, definitely, 100%. So, I mean, there are various options out there. And as I said, some of these NGOs, in this country, we call it charities. So there's free training out there to help you get educated in looking after your children and in generating more income, staying grounded and emotionally to be able to navigate the journey.
Do you know, to be candid, women who are lone parents who have the skills or know how to do blue collar jobs like plaiting hair, dressmaking, tailoring, they make more money than those who go to the office every morning.
I mean, I wouldn't dispute that because my sister used to do hair, and sometimes she would plait two hair for people. Within 6 hours, she could make £100. And that was a long time ago because now your hair is about £80. So surely they make more money. It's just a case of knowing where to find your clients and being good to them, doing the things that you should do as a business owner to ensure that you have regular customers coming to patronize what you do.
Okay, so what are cultural nuances we imbibe that are detrimental to our financial upliftment, and how can we change our beliefs and mindset regarding this?
Wonderful. So I'm going to answer this question in the two parts. So the part A is what are the cultural stuff that helps us or that keeps us from becoming financially successful? Number one would be our scarcity mindset. And what does that mean? They say what you verbalize, you magnetize. We unfortunately do not know. Even the Bible says that refrain from thinking about bad things. And that's just thinking within you. But when you verbalize it, what are you doing? I cannot remember any single conversation that I have with my people. For example, people are complaining there is no money. But the question is, are you where you were 2 years ago, 3 years ago? Perhaps no. You are holding an iPhone 14, iPhone 15 that you are paying perhaps £100 for, and then you're saying there's no money. Sometimes it's interesting. So the languaging that and it's because of the culture, because you want to mimic the Joneses, but you don't know what someone's circumstances. The person is holding, it could be a phone, it could be a car, it could be a house that they're living in. You don't know their circumstance, and then you jump in. The other thing is the fact that we do not appreciate that we even have anything. And for me, that's one thing that we culturally grew up to learn. I wouldn't say inherit because it's not inheritance. So that's one thing. We also have misalignment of our priority. That is a non-factor in our culture. I think I was listening to Caroline Marsh, The Secret Millionaire, and she was saying, do you know that the Asians, the Chinese, when they open a business, is at targeting African. Why? Because we are the consumers. We are consuming everything that come our way. We are playing out this facade of when you make little money, men wants to go and marry another wife and have more children. Women wants hair and wear Louis Vuitton and those things that really just empowering another person and leaving you bankrupt, because if you buy those things, as soon as you leave the shop, they don't have that value anymore. So culturally, unfortunately, we are disadvantaged in that way. I will also talk about our African tax. If you are someone who lives in the diaspora, and this terminology is Caroline Marsh's also way of explaining this in terms of helping us to prepare for it, because It is something that we have brought it upon ourselves. You, as an African, cannot live in the diaspora without sending money to Africa. Whether you agree to it or not, people ask you for the money. And then, because we are also living for each other, like what one person has money is everybody's money, you know.
Communal way of life.
So number one is breed, and number two, it also makes people not to progress, because what's the point in pushing forward? Just imagine you are the firstborn, for example, and then your mother had seven children in addition to you. You weren't even there when she was doing her thing. Now, because you were firstborn, you are able to get educated and then you are doing well. Guess what? All the responsibilities come to you. Why? Because they gave birth to you. And that's culture. That's not right. I mean, I have done so many regarding helping people. But then,
It's quite draining.
if you haven't even paid attention to your 10% money putting away, that is a dangerous game. So most of us, that's where we are in terms of the culture. Now, the part B of your question is, what can we do? You have to cultivate an abundant mindset. Be grateful for the little things that we have and just realign our priorities. Because at the end of the day, regardless of how much you give people, and I'm just learning that after doing this for over 30 years, you see that they grow up and they make their money and you are not included.
Very true.
And then they tell you when you were making your plans, I wasn't there. Meanwhile, you pick that child from nowhere and brought that child out who was not your responsibility. But because of our culture, because if you see English people, they give, but they just give what is surplus, for example. But for us, we're digging into the pocket and emptying it all for people is the worst, because you grow up and everything that they're telling you is that life is not just about you. I know that. But let me also enjoy what I have labored for. So you have to prioritize yourself above anything else. Whatever surplus that you have to give people, that should be. And Caroline says, put 5% of your income away for your African tax. And with that, when that is gone and somebody calls you to say, oh, so and so is in hospital and we don't have anything, we don't have food, we don't have, guess what? Tell them that allocation is finished. Next month, I would refill the pot and I'll send. So you are not compelled to be running and sending money, especially now it's not even running, it's at the tap of a button and the money is gone. They are rejoicing and you are here. You can't even pay your electricity bill. You can't take your children out. You can't invest in yourself to grow and start your own business. And it's just a vicious cycle. So culturally, we need to reprioritize.
So culturally, what you're saying is that we need to wake up and do the needful, attend to our own needs, grow, make sure you're comfortable before you start helping others, so to speak. That is a wise counsel. That leads me to the next question. Are social proofs necessary for parents to learn and teach children about financial literacy or freedom?
Yeah, I mean, social proof is abounds everywhere. So for those of us who are in the diaspora, we know that the Black and ethnic minority group, we suffer disproportionately when it comes to the income and wealth distribution in the UK. Just take even London alone. People who are living in Westminster are not having the same life expectancy as those who are living in East London. Those who are living in Kensington are not having the same life expectancy as those who are living in Peckham. Why? Because if you look at these places, predominantly they are Black people. So the evidence is clear that we are not prioritizing financial independence. And one of the reasons is that we have double lives. So we want to live in the UK and we want to live in Africa. And then our people in Africa, what I have realized, and I've often told people, when we come here, one of the things that we always want to do is to help, because that's how we were brought up. But the thing I have realized is that help If you're not helping strategically, it's just going to fill people's stomachs, and they are not even making any effort to grow the money. Everyone, most of us don't have the ideas or the know-how. So when we look at the statistics, what is it telling us to really think again? Because at the end of the day, what are they doing that we are not doing? They're not working harder than us. Surely we work hours nonstop, and I know people who can work 24 hours and 6 hours a week and still standing. We are working, but where is the money? So culturally, it is evident. And once there is evident, what do you have to do? You have to take away the assumptions, because one of the things that we do a lot as Africans is that we assume so much. I was just talking with somebody before we came on who is having challenges with a business partner, and fortunately it's going to turn into something nasty. Our African mentality is assumption. We're assuming that if I start the business, it will grow. You haven't done your research. You are assuming that if I go and get this second degree or this first degree, it will put me in XYZ place. You haven't done your research. I know a lot of people who have finished whatever degrees, and then they have to go back to study nursing or study something in relating to health because they weren't getting jobs in the degree that they actually studied. So we assume that if we invest money in Africa, it's going to grow. It doesn't always, because unless you do your due diligence, it won't grow. Someone will sit on it. So we have to take away the assumption. I mean, based on this, we need to take the statistics seriously. And we also need to grow our children to think about financial independence. Look, honestly, I believe 100%. If we drum it into our children enough, give us 10 years. Black and ethnic minority, this won't be our lot, because it doesn't take so much to become financially independent. But Jim Rohn says that if you argue for your limitations, you get to keep. And that's what we've been doing. We're arguing. There's no money. Oh, we can't afford this week. Well, yeah. What can you do? Can you just throw your hands in the air? No, you need to do something. And even if we can't do it, just learn it for our children's sake. I often say that. Learn it and teach them. One of my nieces came recently, European country, to visit us. And my daughters sent her out. And then they came back and they were saying, how come that she can spend money like that? It was interesting because they haven't learned to be spending money anyhow. If they buy this food and it's the wrong order, they will eat it because they know that money is not easy to come by. So you can't just buy food and say, oh, I don't like the taste of it, and then your £10 is gone or £20 is gone. It's a mentality, because in Africa, again, someone who does that is seen as a rich person. You understand? People are
Yes.
throwing food away. Even in Africa, they say people are starving, but a lot of people are also throwing food away because it's a sign of luxury. It doesn't make sense to me. So if we get our children to that mentality of knowing that financial independence is a must for them, by their 30s, they will be financially independent. Because it's
Yeah, because it has been ingrained in them and it's become a lifestyle for them as well.
absolutely. So it's not rocket science. We just need to keep talking about these things and get them to work.
Thank you. Well said. So that leads me to this particular question. Lots of lone parents struggle around the issue of money management. What can they do to alleviate their struggles?
Thanks for that. So again, if you're a lone parent, empathize with you, because I can only imagine, though it can be very challenging. Even disciplining your children alone, it's not easy. And then to add on top of that, money challenges. But here is what, as a lone parent, you can do. They say knowledge is power, but even applied knowledge is gold. When you are a lone parent, you have to now apply yourself to this thing called financial independence. Because again, they say that people don't grow trees because the tree will necessarily grow for you just to use the shade. But you grow so that the other people who are coming can get to sit in the shade. Until we learn that, that even as we're sowing the seed of learning about money, about making more money, growing the money, protecting the money, it might not be necessarily for you. Maybe in your lifetime, it won't happen. But guess what? You have sowed the seed, and that seed will germinate into your children. And they grow up being wiser with money. I think there's no better joy than that, to see that your child can manage their life without struggle, that your grandchildren can actually enjoy life. I always think about that. The grandchildren can enjoy the life that perhaps you couldn't get your children to enjoy, but at least you made the foundation for them. So seek knowledge. Then also, you have to take advantage of the free training courses that are out there. Again, there are so many colleges, many online. One of them is called FutureLearn. It's a platform. Everything you want is on that platform. Most of them are free. Some of them you pay a token, but they build it into like a 4-week course, 6-week course. You can learn financial management. There's okay. a website called Udemy. So Udemy is a platform where people also upload their courses. Some of them you have to pay, but it's not a lot at all. These are platforms that you can learn and get the certificates. In this day and age, when you learn something, you can teach other people. And then
definitely.
Not only are you going to use it to organize your own life, but you can also use that knowledge to teach other people.
And you are impacting lives positively by doing that.
Absolutely. But also involve children. That is the point that I will say throughout this conversation. And whatever you're doing, involve them so that they are aware of the steps that you're taking. Because when they grow up, they are going to be taking control of that. Yeah.
Yes, and they are future leaders as well.
Absolutely.
So what passive income streams can lone parents get into?
Wonderful. So in terms of passive income, you already alluded to some of the things like using your skills to sew, for hairdressing, and skills for barbering. These are all passive income ventures. You can do affiliate as well. Affiliate means that you are selling someone's stuff for them, either product or service, and then they pay you a commission. With Amazon, for example, is 10%. Most of the things that you can sell, we can create a landing page and then upload them on there, put an affiliate link, and when people click and buy them, we get a commission. So you haven't worked, you haven't done anything for it. I remember this teacher, she's a parenting coach, but on her website, she has a lot of Amazon stuff, like books. So anything relating to the thing that you actually want to educate people about, the exercise books that the children do, but like GCSE books, she uploads popular books that are used in schools that parents want to buy for their children. So that's one way. For example, you are a cook, right? I know who is, she lives in Finchley, not far from where I am. I came across her stuff when I was learning something about Google marketing. And she was actually interviewed about Google to create this program. I was so fascinated. You know what she's doing? She's making cupcakes. Just cupcakes. So there are so many of us who know how to do these things. But are we using it? No. You know how to make cake? People are celebrating birthdays in your church. Are you utilizing it? Because they don't even know you do it. Because you have never cooked and baked a cake for them to taste and see how good you are. So these are some of the passive income streams you can teach people online. These days, you don't have to go anywhere. You can stay at home. What did my daughters do? Yes. We used to go to car boots.
And yes.
They will buy things from car boots and then come and put it on Vinted. So Vinted is a website for secondhand.
I was going to say that too. Fairly used clothes, books, shoes, you name it.
How they were making money. when they were in school. They know what their colleagues want to use, like the trendy stuff. So they go there and then they are saying, oh, can I pay £2 for this? And I'm like, why are you paying £2 in car boots for a top? But they know that when they come and put it on Vinted, they can sell that top for £10. So those are the options available for parents in terms of passive income.
Extra income. Okay. Is wealth built step by step? And why do people want to get rich quick?
Yes, wealth is built step by step. And wealth is not, it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. But here is where we get mixed up. Because we see other people, when they see someone is wealthy, it means they're flashing money about.
Yes.
It's not the same. I vividly remember when I finished secondary school and I was doing a part-time job in Accra, in Ghana. It was a restaurant. Many people who patronized the place used to be people who are traveling back home from abroad. They will come
Okay.
and they will splash the money. Until I came here, I realized, wow, you are going home, you take a loan, and you go home and you just waste it, basically. So people see them and they think they are wealthy or they are rich. That's not riches. This guy called Iman Gatsi, who is also a young guy who has made it in the online world, he used to say that if you can buy the shoes that you want to buy in Balenciaga, if you cannot afford three of them, don't buy one. If you can only afford one, it means it's not time for you to buy that expensive thing. But what do we see? Oh, people are borrowing money to buy things. Well, so we think wealth or riches. And riches are the same. It's not. Wealth is the condition of your well-being, and being rich is part of it. The other things, like being grateful for where you are, being contented, and just feeling happy, and having the best community. Because remember, they say what money is currency. If you have the best community and you are in the best network, anytime the issue of serious money comes, if you need serious money, because people trust you, they are going to give you the money to do solve that problem. But unfortunately, if you look at it, especially in the online world, people are flexing about and saying, come and buy my course, I will give you that. I mean, you have been a victim before.
Yes,
Come on, buy.
yes.
I will make you overnight. It doesn't work that way. Unfortunately, because we do not have the understanding of it, several times I've wasted money. And you then realize that on top of it all, you still have to work to be able to make this thing work. Something you perhaps could have used Google to teach you, but you've wasted. It's all because of understanding. And for me, that I will never keep quiet about this. Some people who say that, oh, but you spend money here, you spend money there. Yes, I have learned a lesson. And of course, because I've learned that lesson, I shouldn't allow the other people to fall into victims as well. So your wealth is everything that pertains to you, your church, community, your children, family, work. But the richest is the money. And then so come and say, come and join here, multi-level marketing. I've done all
Yes.
of them. Run them.
Nah.
Sorry.
I said I lost a lot of money doing that.
And time as well. So you jump here, you jump there. So if you want to get your children on sound grounding, teach them better skills about wealth building because money making is this part of it. But just having even an hour every evening and sitting with your children, to me, that's wealth. Because not every parent can do that. And again, that sends me back to the lone parents. If you're a lone parent, make your children your best friend.
You're quite right. Personally, my children are my friends, but we have a healthy boundary. There should be a boundary
Of
to
course.
say, this is my parent, and this is the child. But like you said, when you are very close to the children, you bond very well. It's the best. Let me put it that way. So that leads me to another question. Does limiting beliefs block you from financial success? And is awareness key here?
Yeah, so 100% limiting beliefs block success. As I've mentioned earlier, you have to believe that you are capable. So, for example, I remember when my husband's contract letter came through from the UK because he had the job all the way in Ghana. So, when I finished processing our papers for us to come, I had a baby, so I had to stay back. I still remember that day, how joyful it felt. To know that you are going to make it a day for your whole month. You can have all that. But because your belief about wealth is not grounded, the money will come, the money will go. Because you don't believe you deserve the best. And what I know is that if you think about the book called The Secrets, when they talk about the universe, because they wouldn't call it God for whatever reason, but God is infinite. His gifts are infinite. We believe we have to strive. In fact, again, a conversation with someone else today, and we're talking about this conniving, after being in someone's house and not wanting to pay them rent and think you're smart. Well, what are you doing? That's limiting beliefs. So limiting. Sometimes I cannot blame people because I was them as you have to learn these things to know that if you do not change how you think about things, because if you see someone driving a Range Rover, for example, and you just jump into conclusion, they have stolen the money, they have done this, they have done that. But there are people who are making money. I have sat with people, I've shared it before on one of my videos. I sat with this woman, we were in a group. Learning how to speak. And she was so scared to go on stage. And I told her my technique because when I learned about the mirror technique, how you stand in the mirror and speak and look into your own eyes, it gives you that confidence to go out. And she did it. And then the following day, when it came to her time to share her story, I could not believe what I heard because this lady, you would not even dream her 500,000. You know how much? 8 million from property that she did. So she was
Oh, okay.
to learn the public speaking so that she could do this property thing and show people what she's been doing over the years. So what am I saying? The thing is that when you see people like that, you believe it's possible for you. You did it. Another person did it. Once you keep telling yourself that this is not for me, maybe they have done something dodgy, they have stolen, all because of our cultural beliefs, you are not going to go anywhere. And everything starts from your belief. If you don't believe it, you are not even going to attempt. And that's why most of us are still in the cleaning and driving. No disrespect, but until we think differently, people are going into tech and feeling it. This is a mission for me, needlessly how.
But in a nutshell, we should have positive people around us. Your mindset will be positive. You'll change because you're surrounded by people who are positive thinkers.
If you have positive people around you, obviously. You're not going to be thinking negative. You're not going to be talking about somebody else when you should be thinking about how you can move your life forward. And that's what I keep saying. Sometimes there is no need to go into certain conversations when you know that there's nothing coming out of it. I could use that energy. For example, when someone does you wrong and people are saying, oh, why didn't you do this? No, let that go. I will use that energy. So, it's just changing the things. And how can you change? YouTube videos abound. Videos abound that you can never even finish listening. And the thing is, the first time you hear them, you will go, is this even real? Is this even true? Is it like you keep Yes, because your brain will start to fight, but gradually you'll get used to the fact that's people's life, that's their norm, and you can live that life as well.
Thank you. So, how can you break free from limiting money mindset blocks then?
Rewire your brain, like I alluded to earlier. Just read books, watch videos, listen to podcasts. Those three things. When you are cleaning, you're listening to something. When you are having free time instead of watching TV or Nollywood for that matter, you're listening to something positive. Because that's how people build themselves. For example, if you've lived on this earth for 30 years, guess what? You have been in that negative situation for 30 years. It's not going to suddenly change. It has to take a gradual process, but you have to live in it and learn. And change your language, power in language, affirmations. If you're a Christian, Bible is full of affirmation. Bible says that speak as if it was. So, for example, God said, "Let there be light," because He knew by saying that it will be. So when
So
you
he called it off.
call it and let the weak say, "I am strong." Like when I'm listening to those songs, let the weak say, "I am strong." If you're weak, don't be saying I'm weak. The language change.
So speaking positivity does wonders.
Absolutely. And then also exposing yourself in a money-making environment, because until you do that, you wouldn't know that someone can earn £10,000 a day without stealing, without doing sakawa. It's possible because people are doing it. So you expose yourself. You know that they're not even bragging. They're just, but by
Exposing ourselves to new possibilities,
absolutely.
tech, even arts and crafts,
Oh,
they
yeah.
generate money.
Definitely.
Agricultural products.
In terms of skills, my children learn. They didn't know anything about making money. They knew how to navigate on Instagram, just like every young person. But when
Yes.
it's in business for them, they have to learn the business skills. I mean, recently I was speaking with my second daughter, Vanessa. She's going to be starting her degree apprenticeship shortly.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Being paid $24,000 a year and getting sponsorship to study, that's a big deal.
Wow.
She said something that really struck a chord. She said, "I can't believe at 18, if she's in a group and a 14-year-old is in that group and trying to just be normal as the adult, it will feel weird." But that is the limit. At age 14, she was already going for networking event, brunch. She was always online. Brunch, adults, where adults were, that's where she was learning. So now, fast forward, she was able to learn the digital skills, was able to learn how to do websites, she was able to work with companies that I never even heard about. She used to say, "Shake Shack, we're going to eat for free at Shake Shack." And then I Googled the thing and it's a $1 billion company. Space for a young girl, 14, 15, to come and eat because she can showcase their food properly on Instagram so that they can get customers. That's a skill. But until you expose your children to these kind of things, they wouldn't know. When my first daughter finished secondary school during the pandemic, she was working as an intern with a social media manager. And it was good money because it was a government program that they employed her. So these are skills: video editing, social media, right?
So, parents out there, make sure your children are learning a skill. Catch them young, like they say.
Absolutely.
So, you've actually answered the question because my next question was, what can parents teach their children regarding financial literacy?
Budgeting, saving, they should learn to defer gratification because when they get money and all they want to do is to go and spend the money, that's not, you're not building them to become financial stewards. Also, we should just value the beauty of things that don't cost money because, again, if you can walk in the park, you don't need to go to the gym to spend money. If you can sightsee in London, you don't need to be able to go to concert. But there are so many things that we can do with our children. When my kids were young and we used to go out a lot,
Yes.
I would make sandwiches and they would go out. And after they have played and played, they'll come and eat sandwiches and drink water and then come home. So,
Saving. Yeah, I did that myself. I normally maybe go to the store, buy the popcorn instead of getting to the cinema and paying exorbitant fees just to get a bowl of popcorn. There are ways of doing things intelligently. Oh, our final question, but not the least, is what are your last words of encouragement for lone parents or women fleeing from domestic abuse with children as relates to financial management?
it is sad that abuse happened, and especially between husband and wife, when obviously there was a spark somewhere that made you to get together in the first place. But unfortunately, life is not linear. But if you find yourself in such situation, all you need to, I 100%, don't blame yourself, even if you were at fault. Louise Hayes, I think it's Lisa Nichols as well, says that go in the mirror and say, I love and approve of myself. If you love and approve of yourself, what can happen? Nothing, because no one can then put you down.
That's self-love.
Absolutely. But also seek help from organizations that help women, because there are many of them out there. Learn to stay afloat, because it can be disheartening and you don't want to go down. You have children to look after. You need to take care of yourself, very important. Also, you have to look at the treasures of life, as I was mentioning, with regards to doing things that really do not cost money. And promise yourself that you will become financially independent. Lisa Nichols did it when her son was 18 and she didn't have Pampers for the boy. She had to wrap the baby in towels and she swore to herself that that wasn't going to be their life. Now she is a multi-million dollar company boss on Wall Street, or often says that from welfare to Wall Street. So we can do it regardless of where we find ourselves. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Wow, thank you so much for coming on the show. Listeners, viewers, you've heard Beatrice Yakubu. Please make sure you take all these tips and nuggets she's dropped seriously and practice it. When you practice, you're able to live in abundance, a financially independent life, especially for women fleeing domestic abuse or lone parents. So, how can our listeners get in touch with you, please?
Oh, yes, thank you. They can get in touch with me via my website, beatriceyakubu.com. I am also on social media, and my handles, I am Beatrice Yakubu on Instagram, on Facebook, and LinkedIn, and then on YouTube is Beatrice Yakubu. So, or send me an email, info@beatriceyakubu.com. I can't wait.
Thank you so much. Listeners, those are social media handles and email address. If you need to get in touch, please make sure you link up with her. Thank you so much for coming on the show. We do appreciate you and we hope to have you back on another topic. So that will be all for now, listeners. I'm your host, Grace Opper, and see you on our next show. Bye for now.